Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 1, 21 to 23. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
And so it is Christmas. Let's bow our heads. Father, may we today come away with something new, something fresh, that helps us to understand the magnitude of what has been done for us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And before we get started on honoring Christ at Christmas, I'd like to briefly review the contents of a sermon that you heard from this pulpit 1 year ago. That sermon was intended to remind you of what is most important to focus on as you were finishing your Christmas shopping. Do you remember it? The sermon was entitled, Three Items to Shop For. Sure, you all remember it. The items mentioned were the three things that Jesus offers to his last day church, the Laodicean church. I trust you recall the things that we are counseled to buy. You can look at Revelation 3:18 for further explanation of that. First, there was gold tried in the fire, which represents faith and love. Second, there was white raiment, representing Christ's righteousness. And finally, there is eye salve, representing discernment. Have you acquired these things? Well, here's the astonishing thing about these items. Though an entire year has passed by, they are still available to you. And once again, I encourage you to pursue the acquisition of these three items. You will discover them to be tendered by the one who wishes to provide for you every good thing. So purchase them while they're still available. Now for honoring Christ at Christmas. I believe that you understand this morning that the variety of contemporary traditions of the Christmas observance has been in the process of development for at least several hundred years. Of course, we today here are well aware of the way North Americans celebrate the season. After all, we are part of the culture here on this continent. It's probably not necessary to state that Christ never once requested that Christian individuals or communities develop a traditional holiday on which to honor his birth. It's not found in the Bible. Many people today see how this ritual has developed and consider the entire event to be a mockery of what actually happened now more than 2,000 years ago. Nevertheless, today we have the opportunity of reflecting upon the gift that has been given to us and the significance of it, as it is the birth of Jesus Christ. Thankfully, we still have the privilege of telling the gospel story, as it is in truth. It's interesting, the song we just sang, the first Noel, basically told the whole story of the gospel right in those verses. Wonderful song. Now, I would hope we would be as enthusiastic about the truth as it is in Jesus Christ as we are about the day that is the focus of all the celebration. So this morning we must consider what sort of tradition that Christmas has become for each one of us and our families. Many families, and I know there's going to be a lot of traditions coming out at the Robinson home. Many families have certain particular Christmas traditions or customs. It's likely that your family has one or two as well. Some households will gather on Christmas Eve and open individual gifts. Some families will have a unique meal. Others will have a special birthday cake just for Jesus. In some homes, the Christmas story is read aloud from the Bible. Now that's a great Christmas tradition. Some will decorate a tree with ornaments of all types. Most everybody has some sort of Christmas tradition. I think you would agree. So this leaves me wondering, what would be the proper method from the heavenly point of view, the divine perspective, in which to rightfully honor Christ's birth? Let's briefly look this morning at the biblical accounts of the Christmas story. We will discover how the various individuals in the story responded to the birth of Jesus as that first advent was unfolding. There are at least five important responses that are well documented in the various gospel accounts. The first of these responses is worship. You can turn to Matthew 2:11, where we see that the wise men responded to the Christ child with worship. Reading from the New Living Translation, they entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshiped him. We understand that worship can be represented in a variety of ways. The Magi offered their special gifts to Jesus and then fell down and worshiped him. The shepherds offered their worship in the form of praise to God. Luke 2:20 records this. Then the shepherds went back to their fields and their flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them and because they had seen the child, just as the angel had said. Now there's another group as well who offered their worship at this time. Luke 2:14 says, suddenly the angelic host was joined by a vast host of others. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom all God favors. Now the fact is that all the participants of the nativity story gave themselves to worship in the Lord. They worshiped God without hesitation. And there are at least two reasons why this is a fitting response. First of all, we worship God because He is God. Just think about it. Right there in that little old town of Bethlehem, the Creator God of the universe came to planet Earth in the form of a defenseless infant. Don't you find that absolutely incredible? The second reason is because of why He came to this earth. Jesus came to this world to help us find the right way to God. He came specifically to communicate God's love and His goodness to the very ones who have persistently cast Him aside. He came to give every single individual on this planet the choice to follow His way. He came to save His people from their sins. He came to give His life for ours. And most explicitly, He gave His life for you. Now, you likely know of individuals who have become acquainted because of the gift of a particular organ in transplant. Perhaps it was a kidney or some bone marrow. One person gives sacrificially while the recipient feels gratitude for the rest of their existence. You know somebody like that. How grateful we are then for what Christ has done for us in giving His life in exchange for our sins. Who gets the best of that deal? So this morning, I must ask myself another question. What plans have I thoughtfully and intentionally made to honor my King through worship to Him? After all, He is the King of the universe. The second responsive element of proper Christmas observation is joy and celebration. In the same chapter of Matthew 2, we read that when the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed. When the expecting Elizabeth met her niece Mary, the baby within her is said to have jumped for joy. Reference Luke 1:44. The Bible speaks of songs that were sung by all the angels. Now Mary also burst into a song of praise. Turn to Luke 1:46 to 55, and we'll just read that real quickly. Imagine this song coming from a teenage girl who just found out that she was pregnant, and in a very different manner. It's mind-boggling to think what was going through her mind at the time. Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God my Savior, for He took notice of a lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For He, the Mighty One, is holy, and He has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all that fear Him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How He scatters proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and have sent the rich away empty-handed. And how He has helped His servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever. It's a remarkable song, is it not? Simeon, who's on the other end of the age spectrum, responded as well with his joyful praise, as we find in Luke 2, verse 29 to 32. Lord, now I can die in peace. As you have promised me, I have seen the Savior that you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to all the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Yes, the birth of Jesus was a very joyful time. Just stop and think. Could there be any better news than this? God has come and has opened to us the way to eternal life, the way to live with him forever. The third response that we find is one of reflection. In Luke 2:19, we read that after Mary was told all these things that the shepherds saw and heard, that she quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. You can imagine that she would do that. If you have been blessed to have a child of your own, think back to that wonderful day when your baby was born. Now, Tony doesn't have to think too far back. Undoubtedly, you smiled and thanked God for that little bundle of joy. Then as time went by, you held that child and pondered just how your life had changed. You treasured those precious moments for sure. You thought about your responsibilities in protecting this new little life. Now, let me encourage you this morning to take some time and reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ. Just stop and think about the difference it has made to have him in your life. Think about how his entry into the world has changed everything, even for those who don't believe in him. Sometime soon, find a quiet place and contemplate his love for you. Just think of all he has done for you. Then consider what he would like to do with you and through you. Reflect on his promises like Mary and Simeon did. Just think of the promise and imagine the reality of his approaching second advent. As you do, your heart will be led into joyful worship. The very next point of response is the telling of your story, the story of what Jesus has done for you. Did you know that the shepherds were evangelists? Notice in Luke 2:17 what we are told about their response. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. You see, when the shepherds met Jesus for the first time, they spread the news concerning all about Jesus to all the people that they knew. We can imagine that the birth of Jesus was a life-changing event for these shepherds. And today, it's the same for all those who understand the truth as it is in Jesus and invite him into their heart. Because Jesus has changed our lives, we are motivated to tell others about what he has done for us. Why wouldn't we share this good news? Sometimes we might feel hesitant about individual evangelism. We may believe we don't have the right answer at the right time. We don't know how to answer that skeptic or to find the correct scripture passage. Guess what? Shepherds didn't have that either. As a matter of fact, this event happened well before there were Bibles in print, and probably before the 28 fundamental beliefs ever came into anybody's thought. All these church members could do was to testify what they had seen and heard, and that's exactly what they did. Surely we can do the same. Finally, in the original Christmas account, we see there was one response from everybody who crossed paths with Jesus. Individually and collectively, they obeyed. Joseph obeyed God when he took Mary as his wife and named the child which she delivered, Jesus. The Magi obeyed, having been warned in a dream they did not return to Herod. Joseph obeyed the angel and took Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt. Next, he obediently brought them back to Judea and eventually on to Nazareth. This was all because of the instruction that had been given from God to him through an angel. Mary responded, think again about Mary, this teenage lady, their girl. Mary responded to the angel's message with these humble words, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything that you have said come true. Have you ever said that to the Lord? I am your servant, and I am willing to accept whatever you want. You see, each person in the Nativity story honored God by obeying him. They didn't obey God because it sounded like a good suggestion. Rather, they obeyed him because they trusted him. They obeyed because of their faith in and their love for their Heavenly Father. Obedience to God is an appropriate response at Christmas time and most any time. When you love someone, you show your love to them by how you live. When you are grateful, you show it by the things that you do. So at Christmas time is a great time to do those things that he has asked you to do. Receive the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has offered freely to you. He will save you, and then he will transform you. Ask him to make you to be just like him. Consider sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who is close to you. Reach out in love to someone who is struggling with the circumstances of life. Be honest with yourself and with others. Forgive an offense that you are harboring and let go of that resentment or bitterness. Steer clear of the bad news. Turn it off. Endorse and live the good news. Turns out that obedience is a great illustration of our devotion to God. So this morning, as you are preparing for Christmas, do you see worship, celebration, reflection, evangelism, and obedience in your plans to honor Christ at Christmas? If you do, it's biblical. Is it possible to have a covey of Christmas time traditions and still miss the real value that we may find at Christmas? Is it possible to go to church at Christmas time but to never actually worship? Is it possible to sing those joyous carols of the season, but never to have an encounter with Jesus Christ? Is it possible to spend hundreds of dollars on gifts, and at the same time disregard the very one who has traveled an incredibly long way to give his life for you? So this year, let us enjoy those traditional family get-togethers to the fullest. But let us not forget nor neglect to honor Christ at Christmas. Why not ask him to help you to honor him above everything else this year?